When a child is born into this world, we have certain expectations, we have certain things that we anticipate, especially in the growth of that child. And, you know, when you see a child that's not growing at a certain rate or at a certain expectation, that can sometimes raise concerns. It's normal, at least I've been told. It's normal after a baby is born for that baby to maybe lose a couple ounces, a few ounces, before they start adding the weight on. And so, you lose a few ounces, all right, that's understandable. But if that child never adds any weight back on, or if that child's growth is stunted, or doesn't seem to be progressing, you can go and look at growth charts for children online. You can say, okay, here's the average. Here's where the average children are. Is my child above average? Is my child below average? For some parents, their child is perfect, right on target. And for some parents, their child's not even on the chart. Because the child is so behind. But if our child isn't growing at the rate that doctors say is normal, that doctors say is safe, that starts raising some concerns. As parents, we start saying, we need to do something. We start going to doctors. We start getting tests run. We start having things checked out to say, is the baby okay? What's going on with the baby? Why is the baby not growing like the baby is supposed to be growing? We get so concerned about physical health that we'll go see any specialist that's out there to find out what's going on, what can we do to help our baby to grow. It's interesting that we can understand that and we can say that's right on target. Any parent should have that kind of concern. Any parent should raise those red flags and say, we need to focus in on the growth of this child. And yet, take that and make the spiritual application. Why is it that as a child of God, no matter how old we are, why is it that as a child of God that we don't raise the same alarms and the same concerns when we're not growing the way that we should be? When we recognize as children of God, or when we see in the lives of our brothers and sisters that they are not growing at the level. If there was a growth chart for an average Christian, where would we be on it? Where would we be running pretty average? Would we be above average? Or like some of our children were, would we be so far below the average that we wouldn't even be on the chart? We get very concerned about physical growth rates, making sure that our children are healthy physically. How concerned are we about making sure that we are spiritually healthy? How often do we do an exam? How often do we do a test? How often do we do a checkup on ourselves to see, where am I? How am I doing? Where am I going? We get so bombarded in life with so many other things that demand our attention that the growth that God expects us to have just seems to fall short. Get your Bibles, and I want us to start in Hebrews chapter 5 this morning. And those of you who have handouts, we'll see there's a couple more up here in case you did not get one. But those of you who have handouts, recognize that you know me, we're never going to cover any of this, even if I had the rest of the day. But that's for your benefit to take and to hopefully grow from even more. But I want us to start in Hebrews chapter 5 this morning and to recognize that stagnation in growth as a Christian. How would you finish that sentence? If you're stagnant in growth as a Christian, what's God's evaluation of that? God's evaluation is, it is flat out not acceptable. I want you to look at the words in Hebrews chapter 5, starting verse 12, and you'll see these words on your handout. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, for though by this time, I don't know how long these people have been Christians. None of us do. But the Bible says, by this, here he's writing to Christians, and by this time, something should be happening. But here are some Christians who are delinquent in their growth. They are not growing as God would have them to be growing. For by this time, you ought to be teachers. Here's where you should be. By this time, well, you're delinquent in where you should be. Where you should be is you should be teachers at this time, but instead you're not there. Your growth is stagnant. Your growth is dormant as a Christian. For by this time you ought to be teachers. And although you ought to be teachers, right now you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. I tried to come up with a nice word for this. But if you need somebody to keep coming back and again teaching you the ABCs. That's what this is. Literally, that's what this is saying in 5:12 and in 6:11 about the elementary principles of Christ. Literally, what he's saying is, you need somebody to come back and teach you the ABCs of being a Christian. If you had a child in your classroom at school that you had to keep coming back in first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth, and you had to keep coming back and say, well, let's teach the ABCs again. Would a nice word for that be? They're a little dense. They're just not quite caught up. Where are we spiritually? Here were some Christians. They needed to be taught again the ABCs about being a Christian. They were not where God wanted them to be. So instead, you need somebody to teach you again the elementary principles of Christ, the oracles of God, verse 12. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. You should be growing. You should be on an upward path. But instead, you're degenerate. You're deteriorating spiritually. You're not on that solid food, as Roderick will be very soon. You know, instead, we spiritually, these Christians, they're having to go back to the milk. They're disqualified because verse 13 says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word. Some translations say he's not only unskilled, he is just without experience. He's not getting into the word. He is not qualified to be growing as a Christian because he's not. He's not growing as a Christian. How did all of this come to pass? How did these Christians, in the evaluation of God, how were they that they were delinquent, dormant, dense, delinquent, or degenerate, disqualified? How were they so far behind? How were they so far behind where they should have been? Back up to verse 11. And I think verse 11 tells us. Verse 11, the Bible says, after speaking about Jesus, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, he says in verse 11, of whom we have much to say. There's a lot that we need to teach you about Jesus, but it's hard to explain. And he's not saying that the things that they need to teach about Jesus are hard to explain. It's not that these were difficult teachings. But he says, we have a lot to tell you about Jesus, but at this point in where you are, it's hard to explain. If you were going to try to teach somebody to read and they didn't know the ABCs, would that be a little hard to explain? If you're gonna pull out Socrates or Plato, if you're going to pull out some writings and say, okay, let's go back and study these. If they didn't know their ABCs, that can be a little bit difficult. Is that going to be hard to explain? That's what he's saying. Saying these things are not hard to explain, but since you are where you are, they're hard to explain. Why are they hard to explain? Look at the end of verse 11. They are hard to explain because you have become dull of hearing. There's a lot of things in scriptures that I would not look forward to the Lord saying to me. You know, when Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold, but not lukewarm, because I want to spew you out of my mouth. That's not what I want to hear the Lord say to me. Do I want to hear the Lord say to me, David, you are dull of hearing? How was it that they were dull of hearing? It wasn't that they just stopped growing. It was a gradual process where they just grew to be apathetic, where they just grew in a slow manner. They grew to be numb to growing where they needed to be. And God comes to them and He says, "You have become spiritually lazy and apathetic, dull of hearing." The word dull of hearing there means literally almost they had stuck their fingers in their ears because I don't want to hear what you've got to say because I don't have any interest in it. If your children did that to you, how would you respond? "Well, I don't want to hear what you're saying. I'm just going to stick my fingers in your ears." How would you respond to keep yourself out of jail? Maybe let's back it off just a little bit and say, how would you respond in a proper manner? God says, "Christians, you're dull of hearing. And as a result, you are not where I expect you to be." God has expectations for us. Do teachers have expectations in the classrooms? Do employers have expectations of employees? Do parents have expectations of their children? Does God have expectations of us? "Oh, well, you know, if I make them, I make them. If I don't, I don't." You know, we live in such a lackadaisical, who cares world that creeps into our Christianity. "Well, you know, if I live up to God's expectations, that's all right. If I don't, He understands." God says to these Christians, "You're not where you're supposed to be. You need to get where you are supposed to be." Verse 14, he says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." God expects us to grow. He expects us to give ourselves over to doing everything that is necessary for us to grow. Y'all don't mind if I take this off and not sweat like crazy up here, right? God expects us to do everything that we can by reason of the use of the Scriptures in verse 14. By exercising them, by practicing the things that are found in the Word of God. Now look at the first verse of chapter 6. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the ABCs of Christ." Y'all got to grow up. You got to grow up. Let's move on beyond these elementary principles of Christianity and let us go on to maturity. God says you need to grow up as a Christian. And the reality is that fits us wherever we are. We have some babes in Christ in here. And babes in Christ need to grow up in Christ. We have some people in here who've been Christians for 10, 20, 30 years. Guess what? The growth process doesn't stop. You know, physically, our growth process stops. At some point, you stop going up. And when you stop going up, what then happens? Well, where is it going to go? Then it's got to go somewhere, so then it starts going out. You know, but even then, there's a limit. Surely there's got to be a limit somewhere. If physically, there's going to be a limitation on growth. You know, when you reach a certain age, you think, "Well, I'm probably not going to get any taller." You get a certain age, my feet aren't probably going to grow that much more. What about spiritually? Even if you've been a Christian 20, 30, 40, 50 years, can you say, "Boy, I'm right where I need to be. I've grown all that I can. I've grown all that I need to grow. I'm exactly where I need to be." Or could God look at you and compare you with His growth chart and say, "No, you're dull of hearing. You've become apathetic spiritually in your relationship with the Lord." As we think about growth this morning and how God has spoken and how that impacts my growth, what I want us to do in the time that we have is I want us to tie this directly, because the Scripture does this. I want us to tie what we are talking about, growing as a Christian, to one element of growth, and that's growing in knowledge. There's a number of elements in Christianity where we need to grow. We need to grow in our love for each other. We need to grow in our patience with each other. We need to grow in our service to each other. We need to grow in our love for God. There are dozens of areas as Christians where we need to grow, and that will be what determines how we are growing overall spiritually. But I want us to tie this specifically in this morning to If we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to be on that growth chart, it's going to be tied into how we are growing in a knowledge of this book. God commands us to grow. And God commands us, He tells us as newborn babes, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes desire, crave the sincere, pure milk of the Word. Why? Why do I need this? Why do I need to desire this in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2? That, the purpose, the reason, that you may grow thereby. Where does our growth come from? Our growth is going to come from this book. It's going to come from a balanced diet of this book. And so that's where I want us to go in our time this morning, is talk about if we're going to grow spiritually, then we've got to grow in our knowledge of this book. And here's where it comes about. Go to page 2 of your handout. Here's where this comes about. It first comes about, spiritual growth requires us, when we come to the Word of God, spiritual growth requires us to read. I know that's not very appealing to some of us. I know some of us don't like reading. I know some of the young people who are in here think, if I'm not in school, I don't want to have anything to do with reading. Even if I am in school, I don't want to have anything to do with reading. Guess what? If we're going to grow, if we're going to grow the way God wants us to grow, it is going to require reading God's Word. Don't you think that's why He wrote it? He gave it. Why do you think He gave us the book? What is one fundamental reason He gave us the Bible? To read it. Have you ever written a letter to somebody and thought, oh, I hope they don't read it. I just spent 3 days writing this 4-page letter, and I detailed it down to the very last, beautiful writing and every last letter and word. Boy, I spent all this time, but I just hope they don't read it. God gave us His Word. What do you think He expects us to do with it? To read it. And there's all sorts of passages on your handout from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Interesting how God in Deuteronomy 31 commanded Moses to gather all of the people, young and old, not just the ones who were seasoned in their service to God, but to those who were still growing and infants even. Gather everybody together and read the book of the law. When they were restoring the Israelite nation after captivity in the book of Nehemiah, when Ezra came, and what did Ezra do in Nehemiah chapter 8? He stood up, and in the presence of everyone, young and old, he read the book of the law. Wow, how boring would that be? For all day long. And what did the people do? Out of reverence for the word, they stood up. And they stood up during that. Boy, that would be so boring. In preaching schools today, there's different sides to this, but you're not encouraged to get up and read lengthy, long passages out of the Bible because people won't stay with you. Can you imagine being there when Ezra stood up and all morning long he was reading? The kings were supposed to not only write out a copy of the law for themselves, but in Deuteronomy chapter 17, they were to write it out, they were to keep it with them, and they were to read it. Wonder if any kings of our world today are doing anything like that. Wonder what our world today would be like if people were just reading the Bible. You go to the New Testament, and how often, you remember these verses, how often did Jesus say to people, have you not read? Have you not read? Have you not read? What does that say? That says, here's the answer. Get in and read it and you'll see it. Have you not read? Jesus says it's all there supplied for you. Just get in and read it. And so God tells us today, get in and read it. And He tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, if you'll get in and read it, you'll be able to understand it. It's not something that is hidden from us in our understanding. Go down to Roman numeral number 3, the middle of page 2. Not only does genuine spiritual growth require reading God's Word, you got to take it a step further than that. It's going to require meditating on God's Word. Can you read something? Can you read a document and really not absorb it? Can you read something and not really be thinking about what it's saying, not really consider it, and maybe not your mind's not really processed, but you read it, and then you get to the end of having read it, and you think, what did I just read? I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm just talking about any document. You ever done that? And what do you have to do? Go back and read it again. All right, I'll see if I can pay attention this time. You know, so it's not just reading. All right, we got that. Level one, reading. I get in on level one. What's level two? Soak it in. Absorb it. Meditate on it. You know, sometimes we're going to get down to this when we talk about having reading schedules. Sometimes we get so eager to keep up with a reading schedule. Read through the Bible in a year. That's tough. Because you get behind 2 days and you give up. You know, because you can't catch up those six chapters. We get so determined, and I'm not putting those schedules down, but we get so determined to follow a schedule. I got to get 3 chapters in a day. Boom, okay, boom, 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 I get them in. All right. How much, okay, we read it, level one. How much have we meditated? How much have we absorbed? How much have we allowed it to be written on our hearts? How long does it take to write the Word of God on your heart? Are you all like me? Do you have some real neat handwriting that if you've got to write something where other people are going to see it, and you got to write something so that other people can read it, you got some handwriting that, okay, you take your time and it can look good. But if you've got to write something and it doesn't matter if anybody else sees it, it's for you and you got to get it down quick. You got shorthand? You made up your own? Some of you know real shorthand. Some of us just have fake shorthand. You know, we got what we make up and it works. And if somebody else saw it, what would they think of it? Wow, you know, what is that? But what is that? You can write something out real quick and be done with it. Or you can take your time writing something out. If you were to write something on your heart, is that something you just want to scribble down real quick and just be done with it? Or is that something you'd want to take some time with? You'd want to take some time meditating on it. You want to take your time in loving the law of God and putting it in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 40, 148 talks about even awaking through the night and meditating on the Word of God. How much do we spend our time reading? How much do we spend our time meditating? But here's where I want us to spend all of our time this morning. How much do we spend time studying? That's a whole nother level. You get into level one, you're reading. You read through and you allow the words to go through and past you, go your eyes, go over the words. Level two is you start thinking about processing, meditating, allowing these things to sink in and to absorb them. But then you go to level three. And here's where I get in and I want to study. Now, we all know, we've all seen and probably read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 in the Old King James. Favorite verse in the Old King James, because the very first word, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 in the Old King James is study. That's the first word. So for preachers, if we're going to talk about studying, we're going to go grab the Old King James 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. That is our sugar stick for a verse on study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does proper study require? Well, if you go to a New American Standard, a New King James, if you go to a more modern translation than the Old King James, you'll get a more accurate rendition of the Greek, where it does not just say to study, but it's interesting because it shows us what study actually requires. What does the New King James say in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15? Be diligent to show thyself approved unto God. What kind of study does God expect out of me? Diligent study. Study where I get in and I allow God's Word. Not only do I get into God's Word, but I allow God's Word to get into me. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can an old man cleanse his way? How can a middle-aged woman cleanse her way? This has application to all of us. How can we determine the course of life that we need to live? By coming back to these precepts, writing them on our hearts. So here's where we're going to go in this study. If we're going to study God's Word, I'm going to give you 20 attitudes. You got most of these already on. I gave you a few blanks just to keep you occupied. But here's 20 attitudes. These don't all originate with me. But if I'm going to come to the Bible, what kind of approach do I need to have? If we leave here today and say, I want to study more. I want to be a better student of God's Word. What should I do? Well, here's some different attitudes I need to have. Number one, and as you copy, try to listen and do multiple things here. But when I study, I need to study prayerfully. When I study God's Word, what am I doing? I am allowing God to speak to me. When I pray, what am I doing? I am speaking to God. So what if before I allow God to speak to me in His Word, I intentionally speak to God and say, God, please help me as I study today. Commence your study with prayer. Continue. Lord, I'm studying your Word. Please help me to understand this. Continue your study with prayer. And then when you're done, conclude your study with prayer. God, thank you for your Word. This has really helped me today. Again, sometimes we get so wrapped up. I got to get in and read my chapters, and okay, I can check that off. How often do we ask God to bless us and to help us and to guide us as we study His Word? Not only study prayerfully, study it eagerly. How does the Bible tell us to study it? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we noted that verse a little while ago. It says, to desire the milk of the Word, how do you desire it? As newborn babes. Shall we ask Kayla to tell us how much Roderick wants to eat and when he wants to eat and on what frequency he wants to eat? And when a baby wants to eat, does anybody know about it? Everybody knows about it, right? And how do you fix that? Well, you feed the baby. Here's a newborn babe. What does he want? He wants to eat. And what's he going to do until he gets something to eat? How much would we be growing in our knowledge of God's Word? Go to page 3, I guess, on your handout. And we'll run through these 20. We don't have time to spend time on it. Study insatiably. What does that mean? The Bible says that when you study, God is filling you up. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Do you ever become full? Do you ever reach the point, well, I'm just full. I don't want to study anymore. God's Word is as if it cannot stop. There is no point at which we reach full. Study principally. What does that mean? Make studying God's Word a priority in your life. Not just a, if I have time, not just a, well, I've heard a lesson on study and I guess I'll try to pick it up for a little while. Make it a priority. Seek it first in your life. Study lovingly. That means don't study because it's something you got to do. Well, you know, if I'm going to be a Christian and keep these other Christians off my back, I'm going to try to study a little. Don't look at it as something I've got to do. If you look at being a Christian as something you've got to do, okay, you can look at it that way. Or you can look at it as something I get to do. Something I love to do. How about loving God's Word and loving the study of it? Study diligently. Get in. And it's going to require some commitment and effort on your part. Study regularly. You need to set aside a time. You need to set aside a place and say, and discipline yourself. Say, this is where and when I am going to study, no matter what. We do that for other things. There's probably not many of you who miss a college football game, if you're into college football. There's probably not many of you that miss a certain show, even if you have to record it. Even if you got DVR, you're going to find time to do what? You're going back to watch that puppy, you know, because you got to keep up with what's happening with everybody. We set time aside for everything that's important to us, don't we? Everything that's important to us. How about a study of God's Word? Study reverently. It is God's Word. We need to treat it as such. Study purposefully. Come to it to understand what God says. Study humbly, realizing that man, it's not in man that walks to direct his steps. Study understandingly. What does that mean? Well, each passage has its own theme, but put the whole thing in the Bible theme. That is, God loves us. God sent His Son to die for us. Study honestly. This is hard for some. Study honestly. Don't come to a passage, don't come to the Bible to set out to try to prove a doctrine. Studied with a number of people that's the reason they come to the Bible is that they want to find the verse that proves what they believe. That's backwards. That is so backwards. We need to study honestly, come to the Bible, and let the Bible teach us what we are to believe. And so allow Scripture to be that which profits us for doctrine. Study objectively, looking at heaven. Study thoroughly. Don't leave anything out. Study practically. Don't just study to get facts. Don't just study to grow intellectually. That's no good. What does James chapter 1 say? Be not hearers of the word only, but doers. We can be readers and meditators and studiers and hearers of the word, and we can grow and know it and memorize it and quote it and never live it. You can be a walking Bible. You ever heard of somebody who was a walking Bible? You can be a walking Bible, know it front to back, inside and out, but have never obeyed it, have never lived it, have never put it into practice in your life. Study fruitfully. Don't look at it as something that's not going to impact you. This purpose of God's Word. It's called a seed. What's a seed supposed to do? Produce fruit. Study sacrificially. Study absorbingly. What does a sponge do? Sponge absorbs. Then you squeeze the sponge. What happens? What comes out of the sponge? Whatever went into it, right? I mean, whatever the sponge has absorbed, when it gets squeezed, that's what comes out. God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God says, go and you take the gospel and you commit it to other men that they may go and teach other men as well. How are we going to be prepared to go and teach other people what they need to teach? We've got to absorb the word of God so that it can be that which we go and teach. Study comprehensively. When you study a topic of the Bible, when you study what the Bible says about baptism, you study what the Bible says about alcohol, when you study what the Bible says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, study comprehensively. Don't just study the passages that might fit what you want to believe or what you have heard or the direction you want to go. Pull together the entirety, the sum of God's Word in Psalm 119 and verse 160. And then remember to study patiently. You will not be where the elders of this church are spiritually and in knowledge of the Word of God overnight, because they didn't get there overnight. It's going to take study. It's going to take continual perseverance on your part. So if we're going to study and grow the way we need to study, when we come to the Bible, we need to have the right attitudes. When we come to the Bible, we don't have time to develop this, so I'm just going to pass through this. All of the information is there in your handout. But I would encourage you to expand your personal library of Bible study tools. Obviously, your first piece of armor that we use is the sword of the Spirit. There's nothing that replaces that. There's nothing that supersedes the Word of God in any of that. And so the very first thing there is to have some accurate translations. The class next door that Jody's teaching on choosing good translations. You may have your primary translation. Some of you used King James or the New King James or New American Standard, the ESV. That may be your primary translation. That's what you read. That's what you meditate on. That's what you usually go to study. But have one of these other translations or have all of these other translations that are in your handout that you can go and compare to. See, how do other translations do this? And I won't have time to mention this later on, but go online and use some online tools to help you in pulling. You may not own all of these different translations, but you can get them all online. You can go and read them all for free online and compare them. But build your library. And there are some recommendations there. And that was just a very quick list just to give you some ideas on where to start. If anybody's been in my office, you know I probably have some other recommendations besides just the handful that are on there. Find some good, sound, solid websites that you can go to and study from, and there's some listed there on page 5. And then and as we talk about expanding our libraries, it doesn't have to be a physical book, although I think it does, but it doesn't have to be a physical book. You know, there are these audio books that people are trying to make work. And, you know, get the Bible on audio. Listen to the Bible in your car. Listen to the Bible when you're working. Listen to the Bible when you're, those of you who enjoy exercising. Listen to the Bible when you're exercising. You know, bodily exercise profits little. But here, if you do the bodily exercise and the spiritual exercise all at the same time, hey, that might work together. But download sermons. Download lectureship lessons. Go online. Find certain. Download them. Listen to them. You know, it's going to be a lot better than any of this other stuff that we're listening to. And then letter D on page 5. When you come to study, recognize that there are a number of various methods by which, and I use the word experience, there are a number of various methods by which you can experience Bible study. Here's what we think. When we think, okay, I need to read, I need to meditate, I need to study, I need to study diligently, I need to have the proper attitudes and all of these sources. But for some of us, we still think, if I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to start in Genesis 1:1, and I'm just going to read. And when I get to Revelation 22 and verse 21, amen. I'm going to start back over in Genesis 1:1, and I'll just read it through again. And that's a great way to study. There's nothing wrong with that conventional way of just study it from cover to cover, from front to back. But there are other ways to allow the Bible to come alive and to increase the depth at which we study. One way is to study it chronologically. There are some Bibles that publishers have put out that in their estimations is this is how the Bible flows chronologically. You know that your Bible that you have that's from Genesis to Revelation is not chronological. That there are sections in there that that overlap. You get to 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Well, you get 1st, 2nd Chronicles, guess what? You're backing up and you're starting over again if you don't realize. You read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what do you have? You have four different accounts of the same different time period. And so some Bibles will put it chronological. Sometimes you can just find a study guide that will help you to put that in line. Study the Bible topically. Find a topic that you want to study and then just jump in and find everything the Bible has to say about it. Study the Bible sometimes devotionally. You ever need comfort? You ever need peace? You ever need hope? Is there any better place to get it? Those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Romans 15 and verse 4. Study the Bible devotionally. I've encouraged people recently, find your psalm. You know, everybody, you ever notice, everybody seems to have their verse. Everybody seems to have their favorite. And when it comes to psalms, everybody's got their favorite psalm. And when things start going bad in life, they always go to that psalm. You're like, okay, can I use your psalm? You know, what psalm are you like? I haven't found the psalm. Find your psalm. Go and find your passage that helps to draw you closer to God. Study the Bible deeply. This goes back to Hebrews chapter 5 in that there is a depth to the Bible that you will never reach the bottom. You will never be studying the Bible like you have a shovel and then you just stick it. Oh, well, I guess that's the bottom. I got all the way to the bottom on this. There is no bottom. There is no depth that you can go that you can't go any deeper. Now, for some of us, we don't need to jump in the deep end, you know, when we can't swim. That's not the best, but, you know, so we need to start in the shallow end with the milk and then progress. But don't be afraid to get into deep study. Study the Bible biographically. Find a Bible character. Find multiple Bible characters. See how they interrelate, even in Old Testament and over to the New Testament. Study the Bible systematically. What does that mean? We had a bookstore here for the last couple days. But there are a number of Christian bookstores, publishers. And this is just one example of how you can study the Bible systematically. Who put out 13-week studies. And it seems to be a thing in the church that we can't have Bible classes. You know, we can't have adult Bible classes, senior high, junior high Bible classes. We can't have Bible classes unless we're on a quarter system. You know, and we've got to have 13 weeks. And we seem to be fixed on that. When we switched our grades 5 and under into our Stepping into the Bible program and took them out of the quarter system and put them into semesters and sessions, we almost had to ask for forgiveness. in some place, you know, because we had almost committed the unpardonable sin of getting away from a quarter because we're just fixed on, it has to be 13 weeks. Anyway, there are a number of books out there all over the place that, and you need to make sure they're good, solid books, but that brethren have created to be used in Bible classes for teachers to prepare their lessons to teach in Bible classes. You can take those books and use them for personal Bible study. Just because they were written for a Bible class, a senior high Bible class, an adult Bible class, doesn't mean you can't use it. You can take that, study it for yourself. There is a wealth of information there. Most of them have questions that help you to get deeper. That's just one way systematically that you can do it. And then obviously on number 8, we've mentioned this several times, study the Bible slowly. That's not to say spend your whole life and you've never read the entire Bible. That's not to say study so slowly that you've never reached the book of Romans by the time you die because you were so slow in your study. No, there's different levels of study. And there may be times where you are reading through the Bible. Okay, I'm going to read through the Bible. And I might be on a 1 year, a 2 year, a 3 year plan where maybe you have Bible study where you're just on your reading level. But then at the same time you have that going on, you might have some deeper studies that you're doing. You know, some of us think, well, if I'm studying the Bible, I'm either going to be doing this or I'm going to be doing this. It's an or, either or. How about an and? I've got my morning readings. I'm reading through the Bible. I'm going to read through the Bible every year, every 2 years, every 3 years. And then when I get done reading through the Bible, I'm going to start over again. I'm going to read through it again. But while at the same time I'm doing that, I have another time during the day, during the week, where I come down and I slow down a little bit. And I find that topic, I find that passage that I just want to dig into. And I take that and I make that my project. And that's when God's Word will again come to life even more. Roman numeral number 5. Genuine spiritual growth is going to render unbelievable blessings. And we do not have time to mention all of these. But I just want to read through these and highlight some of these for you as you write down that valuable blessings. When I study God's Word, I can see myself as God sees me. I can be transformed into the image of Christ. I can know how I'm supposed to live in order to prepare for judgment. I can be better skilled to discern good from evil. I can be strengthened so that I don't sin. I can protect myself from falling away from the Lord. I can be protected and shielded by studying God's Word. I can be protected from the fiery darts of the devil. By studying God's Word, I can be better prepared to overcome temptations. By studying God's Word, I can be fully equipped that when somebody asks me a reason for the hope that is in me, I can give an answer because I've been studying, being able to defend my faith. There are a number of valuable blessings that come to us when we study God's Word. And you can add to this, I'm sure. You could double that list of things, the blessings that come from God's Word. But let's conclude this on the last page, page 7 of your handout. Brethren, this isn't some intellectual discussion. This isn't some class to have just to encourage us, say, well, you know, when we can get around to it and we would be better for it, we really need to study. It's much more than that. When you read Hebrews chapter 5, God looked at a group of Christians and He said, where you are is unacceptable. Where you are in your spiritual growth is not where I want you to be, where I expected you to be, where you need to be. And I know that some of us, if we were to do a self-evaluation, some of us are harder on ourselves than we should be. I know there's some in this room who are harder on yourself than you need to be. And in a spiritual checkup, you look at yourself and you say, I'm horrible. I'm the worst person in the world. I can't do this, can't do that. I don't do this, I don't do that. And I'm miserable. And then there's others of us who go the other way. And we're not hard enough on ourselves because we can find every excuse in the book that sounds so good. We've got school teachers in here. Y'all just ought to write a book on the excuses that you hear from students. Well, I can't do it because of this, because of that. I mean, kids are geniuses. I mean, they can make up stuff that sounds viable. Oh, well, maybe that's true. They can also make up stuff where you ever have to go to the other room so you can bust out laughing. Thinking, wow, that was ingenious. How did they come up with that? Some of us as Christians are like that. We can come up with the ingenious, well, you know, God will understand because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this. God commands us to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, He commands us to grow with a present tense imperative. It means grow and grow now and keep on growing. Growing as a Christian is not optional. It's not optional. It's going to take effort. It's going to take diligence. But I want us to come back to this final point, which is the whole point of this lesson. The fact that God has spoken, that's what impacts my growth. I don't have the words of man. I've got the words of God. Right here. God wrote this to me. And He expects me to get into it. He expects me to study it. He expects me to grow from it. You will never grow close to God until you get into this book. And you will never grow closer to God until this book gets into you and is written on your heart and dictates the life that we live for the Lord. Let's close with a brief word of prayer, please. Our Holy Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your love for us and the revelation of Your will for our lives. Father, help us to be good, diligent, faithful students of Your Word. Help us to not do it that we might simply grow intellectually. But help us to study Your Word in order that we might grow closer to You, in order that we might know exactly what we need to do to be pleasing to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.